Bugle will be odds, I'll be evens. We'll start from the top, and this is once again a one quarterback draft. This is for a half PPR league, so you know, somewhere in the middle. But yeah, we'll go in order for our favorite prospects, and you know, we'll see who likes who and how much they like them. Ready to go?
Yeah.
Bugle at the number one overall pick. Who you got?
We're gonna go with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
I mean, I just think he's the best prospect in this draft if I'm going to keep it a buck. One of one. I think he's better than Caleb Williams. I think he's just the greatest prospect. And so Marvin Harrison Jr. would be my 1-1 if I'm a dynasty team looking for, you know, someone to be able to put in my flex, what have you. I think that he's going to get the ball wherever he goes. If it's Carolina, wherever it may be, this guy's going to get targeted hard and often.
Marvin Harrison's the
easy one. 100%, bro.
Easy one. I made an argument that I thought Roma Dunze was better. But sometimes you want safety at the number one pick, and that puts a premium on it. But
yeah,
I agree with you. I think he's a bulletproof prospect.
100%, bro.
I think he's a bullet. He's definitely a bulletproof prospect. So I like Marvin Harrison at the one.
Yeah, we got it too, bro.
At two, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Roma Dunze.
Okay.
I'm going to take Roma Dunze.
I feel
and
that.
The reason I'm taking Roma Dunze is because he's one of my favorite receiver prospects, like I just mentioned. But I think he's a bulletproof prospect as well, meaning that he's going to work wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. He has a pretty, like, solid route tree. He has the size. You know, he's by all accounts like a good person.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm excited to see that kid succeed, and I wanna put my stake in Roma Dunze.
I feel that, bro. I like that pick a lot. I probably would have taken him at the two if Marvin was off the board. So I feel that.
Okay.
I think pretty obvious. Unfortunately, I'd probably go with Malik Nabers here. I think that's pretty easy to go with. I think that he's going to be pretty explosive wherever he goes, or very explosive wherever he goes. And so with that, Malik Nabers just being that guy, he's 6 foot, 200 pounds, and he runs like the wind, and he can catch any sort of ball in his path. He's a special wide receiver. I wouldn't put him as my number one here in this draft. Obviously, that showed with the number one overall pick. But I do think that he will be a solid prospect for years to come.
Okay. So we are now at the fourth overall pick. So far in our mock draft, Dugo took Marvin Harrison at one, Malik Nabers at three. I grabbed Roma Dunze at two. And at pick four overall, I'm going to go ahead and take I'm going to take Brock Bowers.
That's pretty easy. I respect that.
I'm going to take Brock Bowers. He's a solid, solid, solid tight end. He's going to immediately be one of the best in the NFL the second he steps on the field. And tight end is one of those positions to where it's hard to, you know, like strike gold at. So it's,
right.
It's cool when you got a high-end prospect who's young and capable of being, you know, one of the best at his position. So I'm going with Roma Dunze at two, Brock Bowers at four, and Dugo, who you got at five?
At five? Shoot, dog. This might be a little unorthodox, but I'd probably go with Adonde Mitchell here.
Adonde?
Adonde Mitchell.
Tell me why.
I like his size. I like his speed. Don't get me wrong. There are some thoughts and feelings that I have that he might just end up being like a Quentin Johnston, unfortunately. But I do think that he is a little bit more talented than that. I think that he is shown to be more than just like a deep threat guy. I think that he's proven to be effective at all three levels.
Okay.
So I like him, man. I really do. I think that he's a better prospect than Xavier Worthy just as a NFL prospect going forward. I think that size does a lot in the NFL, and just the sheer fact that Xavier Worthy doesn't have all that much size to him frightens me. And Brian Thomas, he's a great prospect as well, right?
Yep.
But I just feel like at the end of the day, Adonde Mitchell is going to be just – better overall if I'm gonna keep it a buck.
It feels like Adonde has the higher ceiling just because of his like physical traits,
right?
But you know, you can't really go wrong with either, in my opinion.
Right. I just hope that he's able to put on a little bit more weight to him.
That'd be nice.
I mean, he's a little bit scrawny at 6'4", 195, I think. It's not necessarily great. Even Brian Thomas Jr. has more weight on him, I believe, and he's, I think, 6'3".
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. Nonetheless, though, I would like Adonai Mitchell, I believe, in that situation.
I like Adonai. My comp for him in the league is T. Higgins.
Okay, hell yeah.
And T. Higgins is a starting wide receiver damn near every week. So I don't hate you getting a starting wide receiver at 5 overall. At pick 6, this is where the draft gets interesting. You know, now that we got like those top 3 receivers out of the way, and we got Brock Bowers out of the way, this is where like you kind of just have to value guys however you value them.
Facts.
I haven't really seen like much of a consensus in this area of the draft.
Right.
So at 5 overall, Dugo went ahead and took Adonai Mitchell. And at 6 overall, I'm going to go ahead and grab Jonathan Brooks.
That's a sick pick. I like that.
I'm going to grab Jonathan Brooks at number 6, Texas fair. Running back. You got to go ahead and grab those grab the best running backs in the draft class in the first round. So why not get it done at 6?
Mm-hmm.
So at 2, we got Adunze. At 4, we got Brock Bowers. And at 6, we got Jonathan Brooks. Dugo, who you got at 7?
I mean, I feel like I can't let him really slip any further, so I'll probably take Brian Thomas there. Just with he does have most of the tools. The one knock that I have on him is just his catching ability doesn't seem to be all the way there. And as a wide receiver, I feel like that should be the minimal.
Mm-hmm.
I do like all of his other traits, though, and I feel like if he gets to an NFL team that likes him enough, that will be able to put all the time and energy into him to, you know, be a number one guy down the line. Maybe just a really, really good number two.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could definitely work. He just has to hit the ball, the jugs machine, and get tight with his quarterback.
Okay. I like that. And I kind of agree with you. Like, he's going to be a great downfield threat, and he's going to make a lot of big plays happen. So he's going to be exciting for fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, one of those prospects I do like a lot. I'm kind of with you. I like Adonai a little bit more than Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
But Brian Thomas can certainly end up being better and, you know, being impactful on your teams. So, okay. At 7, you know, you go ahead and get Brian Thomas. At number 8, I'm going to go ahead and finally take – you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take Xavier Worthy.
Whoa.
I'm going to take Xavier Worthy.
Okay. I respect it.
Xavier Worthy could end up being the most explosive player in this whole draft class.
Mm-hmm.
If he ends up on the right team. Obviously, at this time, we do not know what teams, you know, these guys are going to be drafted to in the NFL.
Right.
But he's a big play waiting to happen. He's like Tank Dell, if not better. I think he's explosive, twitchy, you know, versatile in what he can do on offense, and I'm excited to see what he does at the next level.
Respect.
So, number 8, we're going to go ahead and take Xavier Worthy.
Number 9, bro, I'm going to take Trey Benson here.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, bro. I just think that he's the best overall prospect if I'm going to keep it a buck in this situation. When it comes to being able to get the most total points overall from this draft class outside of the quarterbacks. So, yeah, man, I really like Trey Benson in this situation. I would probably mark him as my number 2 overall running back in this class. If not, he's almost borderline 1.
Okay.
I like Jonathan Brooks a lot, and I really appreciate hearing over the past few days that he keeps clearing his medicals and his re-evals and everything. So, extremely happy to hear that. Obviously, you took him off the board already, so in this situation, mm-hmm. Like I said, I like Trey Benson. He's a dual threat running back, can pretty much do it all. Mm-hmm. Is coming off somewhat of an injury, but I think he's going to be extremely good coming down the line.
I agree. I like Trey Benson a lot. He's my RB1 in prospect rankings.
Hell yeah.
The reason I took Jonathan Brooks ahead of him is because I think Jonathan Brooks is almost guaranteed to probably be the first running back drafted just because of, you know, like the program and everything that he played for at college, heavy exposure. I think he's the first running back off the board this year.
That's just interesting that you would take someone just because of exposure. I feel like in this
draft capital.
I get it, but don't get me wrong. Like, if you think that Trey Benson is going to be the best prospect overall, I mean, I just feel like that would be a little redundant to take someone else. I mean, you're not wrong.
If they go in the same round, it's almost, yeah, you're right. It's almost redundant.
But nonetheless, I respect it. I mean,
yep.
I do like Jonathan Brooks a lot, and technically, I think right now I do have him a hair above Trey Benson, but I would say probably just because of the age difference.
Yeah. Like, what if Brooks is drafted? Because it's not a strong running back class for the NFL draft.
I beg to differ. I do think it's pretty strong. I just feel like every year, like, we keep saying that it's not as strong, but, like, I really think that every year there's these guys that have these tools that are, like, that's the reason why they're NFL prospects. Like, they all have some sort of tool that makes them so great that got them to this point. Like, it's something different that isn't in the NFL type shit. So, I don't know, bro. Like, that's the reason why I like these prospects year after year and why they bring something different to the table.
I really like Trey Benson, and I really like Jalen Wright.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. And if you weren't going to take Jalen Wright, your next pick, that was going to be mine.
Well, thanks for telling me that. I'm going to take Jalen Wright now.
You a bitch.
Yeah, I want Jalen Wright. Great running back. Explosive. Like the Alvin Kamara of this draft class, if there was one.
Yep.
And I like that in the NFL. So if he gets day two draft cap, he'll get a starting spot, and he'll get his opportunity. So at nine, I'm going to take Jalen Wright before Dugo does.
Fair enough. Fair enough. With 10, I'm kind of on the verge of thinking this is where the first quarterback should be coming off the board.
Yep.
And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do that. I'm going to take Jaden Daniels, though. Jaden Daniels.
I like that, too. I didn't know when he was going to go, but I was hoping he'd fall.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of places where he could be falling, especially if you have established teams and everything. And if you don't have established teams and you're just drafting off the rip, I don't know why you'd be starting with rookies, but I think that Jaden Daniels is just going to be that guy in the NFL. Like we talked about in the past, like that one picture of his elbow still kind of creeps me out a bit. But at the end of the day, this guy is absolutely sicko. I think that this guy has all the tools to be great. His mentality is awesome. That's one of my biggest knocks on Caleb Williams is I just don't know what's going on. And I think that Jaden Daniels is just all ball all the time. Kind of his demeanor and his mentality kind of reminds me a little bit of what I saw last year in Anthony Robinson.
Anthony Richardson?
Richardson. Wow. Yeah, my bad. Thank you. Dang, dude. And I even drafted that guy.
He reminds me more of like Jalen Hurts.
You think so? I respect that.
And skill set and demeanor. Because like with the skill set, he's probably the best rusher at quarterback in this draft class. But he's also a really good, you know, thrower of the football. He's accurate. And when you get those dual threat quarterbacks, especially in fantasy football, that matters a lot.
Facts.
And that premium that you get on the rushing output is what elevates them to that top five, top six status at the position. So the reason I agree with that pick and the reason I like Jaden Daniels a little bit more than Caleb Williams is because while Caleb is going to be mobile and he's going to be able to go ahead and pick up, you know, chunk gains and stuff like that, kind of similar to like Patrick Mahomes, with how Patrick Mahomes rushes and, you know, what you can expect from him. Jaden Daniels is almost surefire going to get his yards in. He's going to get one big playoff on his legs. He's a really, really, really great athlete. And he's also super accurate. So you put him in Washington, Jahan Dotson, you get Terry McLaurin, like you got some weapons now. That's a pretty good way to come into the league, especially under Scott Kingsbury or Cliff Kingsbury, who, you know, ran the air raid at Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I like that pick a lot. All right, so we'll go ahead and we'll go to pick 11. So, Dugo, you want to recap your team real quick?
Oh, shit. Yeah, let me backtrack real quick because I obviously wasn't making a mental note. But let's go from the top. With Dugo's picks, my picks, I have Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 1, Malik Nabers at the 3. Then I went for my boy Adonai Mitchell at the 5. And then number 7, I went ahead and took Trey Benson, my number 2 running back on this draft. And then, shoot, what would it be then?
So after I took Jalen Wright, you took Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels.
Yep. Okay. And at the 2 position, I went ahead and grabbed Roma Dunze. At 4, I grabbed Brock Bowers. At 6, I grabbed, I think it was Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah.
At 8, I grabbed Xavier Worthy. And at 10, we're going to go ahead and get Jalen Wright. All right, so pick 11.
Pick 11, bro. This is going to be an interesting one. I'm kind of up in the air with these two guys. I'm kind of splitting hairs between Troy Franklin and Ladd McConkey right now.
Okay.
I like both a little bit, right? Like, I think that both are pretty decent. Ladd, I feel like everyone keeps saying that he has flashes of someone kind of like a Elijah Moore. So, you know, like a really good swifty slot receiver. But the one thing that I haven't seen much of Elijah Moore is production in the NFL. So that's what scares me a little bit.
Man.
So let me go ahead, and at the end of the day, this will probably end up blowing up in my face. But let me get Malachi Corley.
At 11?
At 11.
Wow, that's early.
Very.
Why?
I just think that this is going to be one of the cats that at the end of the day, his draft cap is going to end up exploding for him. I think that he's going to be one of the guys that we don't expect to go as early as he does.
Okay.
And I think that it could be really, really awesome for him as, you know, just like as a person to, you know, get that money because, you know, going from Western to Kentucky, not necessarily amazing. But if there's someone out there,
say that about any kid, though.
But if there's someone out there that I think can make that transition, it's definitely him. The guy can make pretty much any catch. The guy has all the tools that you want, and he has an amazing attitude. So it's a little bit of a shock, but at the end of the day, between all the other guys that are available, and when I want a really good wide receiver, I'm going to take my boy when I want him.
I wasn't grabbing Malachi Corley in the second round.
Hey, bro, and that's good. It's good for me. So let me take him at 11.
All right. At 12, I got Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC. Caleb Williams, we all know, is, you know, he's going to probably be pretty good. We talked about it earlier, but he's mobile on his feet. He has a great arm. A lot of lot of throws downfield he'll be able to make with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore if he ends up in Chicago. He's almost a lock-in starting quarterback, and that always has value. So I'm going to go ahead and take Caleb Williams after Dougal took Jaden Daniels at 10. I'm going to take Caleb Williams right here at 12. And, yeah, I got the number one draft pick, so I hope that works out. I hope his draft stock lives up to all be true. But, yeah, I'm gonna go with Caleb there.
I respect that. You know how I feel about Caleb Williams. I've made that pretty apparent on this podcast. So if you don't know, just go back and listen to previous episodes because I'd rather not tear into that again. With 13, I'm going to take Braylon Allen.
Braylon Allen.
I like Braylon Allen a lot. Obviously, I'm from Wisconsin. He's from Wisconsin. We share that connection. But we also share the connection that we're badasses. And I think Braylon Allen is going to be the next King Henry in the NFL.
You think he's going to be the next Derrick Henry?
I do. And so I think that he might be a shade below that.
Shit, dude.
But I think that he has the opportunity to have that longevity being 20 years old, going to be 21 during the draft, I believe. So I really like this kid a lot, man. So give me Braylon Allen.
What NFL team would be the best fit for Braylon Allen?
If I want to keep it a buck, I believe it'd be my Green Bay Packers.
I agree. They need to replace AJ Dillon.
Facts.
Like stat.
Yeah, that. Otherwise, I mean, I could honestly see someone like the Titans, possibly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they had lost someone like Henry.
They brought in Tony, though. Tony,
yeah,
Pollard.
They had Pollard. But, like, I mean, if you could get someone like that in the third round or something just to be able to, you know, go between running backs and stuff, I feel like one thing that the Bengals did last year was that they wanted to utilize a two running back set as much as possible. And it didn't necessarily happen so much because Joe Mixon was just that guy. And so I believe that that's one thing that they're going to want to do with Brian Callahan down there.
You want to know my hot take?
What's up, bro?
I think Braylon Allen gets drafted by Jim Harbaugh and the Los Angeles Chargers.
That'd be crazy for him, bro. That'd just be really good exposure out there. And I think that people would love him because he's a really good guy, has a great personality. So yeah, a young rookie like that coming down there, I feel like would make a big splash.
Harbaugh knows him really well too. He played against him, you know, every year since he was a freshman. So yeah, I like that pick a lot. All right, so Braylon Allen's off the board, and at 14 now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to select Blake Corum. Give me Blake Corum. I don't really have to say much else. It's Blake Corum. He's a top three running back in this draft class. He's a great prospect. Reminds me a little bit of like Devontae Freeman, like Devontae Freeman mixed with a little bit of Aaron Jones.
Okay.
But I think regardless of where he ends up, he's going to get reps, opportunity, and I think he'll be great in like the goal line area.
Okay.
So give me Blake Corum at 14, and we'll move it on to 15, Duco.
Number 15. This is where I will take someone like Ladd McConkey. Just because back in the day, I did have high hopes for Elijah Moore. Really thought that he was going to be a star here in the NFL. And so if I could take another swing at that bat again, I would. So let that be Ladd McConkey here at 15.
That's who I thought you were going to take instead of Malachi Corley.
Right. I kind of wanted to leave that on a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
But yeah, I just think that he has the overall skills to be able to be that guy in the NFL. You know, being at Alabama, you have to be able to work in a lot of different situations under a lot of pressure. You have to be polished coming out. And so, yeah, I think that he's a good value here at 15.
Okay. So, all right, we'll do Ladd McConkey at 15. And at pick 16, I'm going to take Keon Coleman.
Okay.
A receiver out of Florida State University.
Respect.
Keon's just extremely athletic. He catches everything, like, in his sight. He makes a lot of big plays happen at FSU. And I think that's going to translate at the next level. So I want a big play receiver like Keon. I don't really know who my best comp for him would be. Like, he almost reminds me a little bit of like Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, I think last week when we were talking about, we said he almost gives us shades of almost Tyler Boyd in a sense.
Yeah, like just, you know.
He could be a really, really good two or three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know if he's going to be a number one guy. He might. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, if he hits his potential, he might be something like Calvin Ridley. But I think that overall, I could definitely more or less see him being more like Tyler Boyd or something more like that.
So, for reference, Keon Coleman is a receiver out of Florida State University. He is about 6'4", 215. Kind of works, like, as the stretch option in an offense, meaning he's the dude who runs downfield a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Keon, when he makes a play, it's going to be a highlight play because it's going to be 60 yards down the field over somebody's helmet.
Right.
So I think that if he gets the second or third round draft capital, which I think he'll probably get second round draft cap, but if he ends up being like a primary option somewhere like New York on the Giants, that's a really great value.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really great value. So respect to Keon Coleman. That would be my pick at 16, and moving on to 17.
17, I feel like this is probably where you're going to say, damn it, Dugo, you sniped me again. But I'm going to take Will Shipley here.
Damn. I was going to take Will Shipley 2-8.
Hey!
You got me back. Will Shipley's like the next like Christian like McCaffrey type beat.
Kinda, bro. I think he's going to be really good at the NFL, bro. I think that we kind of went over him a week or so ago. This guy's really good. He's a do-it-all guy. He has a really good size. I believe he's 5'11", like 215. He can, like I said, he has all the tools to do everything here in the NFL. Could definitely see him being a longevity type beat. I'm excited to see what he does, dude. I don't really have necessarily the greatest comp. I don't know if he's going to be necessarily Christian McCaffrey. But if I could see him being something maybe close to an Aaron Jones, maybe. I mean, like, I know it's still kind of a stretch, but.
That'd be really great for fantasy, though.
I have high hopes for him. I really do.
That'd be amazing for fantasy if he ended up, like, even Aaron Jones.
Yeah, high hopes for this guy for sure. So give me Will Shipley here at the 17th overall.
Dude, I'm going to miss having Aaron Jones in Green Bay.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I'm going to miss that guy a lot. I think that he's going to be great for the Vikings, unfortunately. Yeah. But overall, he's kind of dead to me. I have his jersey, unfortunately.
That's great.
I still got to figure out which jersey I'm going to buy. So we'll keep you in the loop on that, folks.
Word. All right. Pick 18. So this is now the 2-8 of our 10-team, one quarterback, half PPR mock draft.
Sure.
But at pick 18, I am going to select, this is tough, I'm going to select Jamari Thrash.
That's kind of a stretch, but okay. Walk me through this. Why do you like him that deep?
Jamari Thrash kind of reminds me of, like, that was crazy.
Yeah, shit, bro. I pulled that one back on me, bro. You're good, though. Go ahead.
Jamari Thrash kind of reminds me of, like, Jordan Addison. Okay. Jaden Reed. Like a Jaden Reed type of receiver, okay, almost. Jamari was the primary receiver at Louisville. He was their ex. He ran a lot of... He was almost like Jordan Addison light.
Okay.
And I like Jordan Addison coming out of college last year as, like, the wide receiver one from that draft class. He fits that model. He catches a lot of passes. He's flexible and, like, where he can catch the ball. Like, he can almost, like, bend his body like it's Garrett Wilson and make plays happen. He has the speed to get downfield. He catches a lot of passes over his shoulder, so he's comfortable doing that. And he's also been the primary receiver on his team for a couple years now. So, you know, you put him at the Z, you put him at the X in the NFL, and I think he's going to be able to hold his own.
Respect.
Jamari is going to be a really great receiver at the next level. I think he's almost one of my... He's probably, once again, one of my bulletproof receiver prospects because he's so great at route running. He catches the ball well. He's comfortable being the X. But he's a really great value pick, I think, at 2-8. So I'm happy with that.
Respect, bro. I like that a lot. I don't really have much else to add to that.
I just have to go crazy because I that's like my guy I wanted to like kind of...
Hey, bro.
Like,
no. About. No, I like that insight, bro. I really do. So leading to... I have the 2-9 here.
Yep.
Shoot. So this is my last pick here pretty much, folks. So I'm splitting hairs right now. I'm kind of going in between Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, and I even have Luke McCaffrey in the back of my head right here. I know that Luke McCaffrey's kind of a stretch, but I think he's going to be an absolute dog here in the NFL. But if I'm just going to go for who I think has the best upside, is going to be able to step in and be a day one starter right away,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to go ahead and take Ricky Pearsall.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, I like Roman Wilson a lot. I just think that he might have some inconsistent hands. Obviously, he went to Michigan, so that was more of a run-heavy school. But he did get utilized a lot in the pass game, so can't hate on him too much. But I just like Ricky Pearsall's overall talent ability, I believe, at the wide receiver position. He has a larger frame for his body. I know that he does specialize kind of in the slot. But I do think that he could be a guy that could work all over. End of the day, when it comes to Ricky, I think that he's going to be something close to not necessarily like what we saw from Hunter Renfro, that one year where he went absolutely brazy and went for like 110 catches or whatever it was for all of his career.
Yep.
But I do think that he will be an instrumental part and might be something close to what you know, like Randall Cobb was for the Packers, where he was seeing like 85, 90 targets a year.
Wow. That would be amazing.
And yeah.
That would be amazing. I think that's like his best case scenario.
100%. And I do think that he has all the skills to do so. I mean, he's 6'1", 189. So, I mean, he's a little slender, but I think that he has kind of a wider frame still. Mm-hmm. He runs a 4.41, so it's a very low 4.4. And you know, he has a 42-inch vert, so, I mean, he can go up and get it when he needs to. I know that some people have said that he's not great at the catch point when it comes to physical catches, but I just think that over time and getting into an NFL weight room, being able to get his shit going, I think that he'll be all right. And, you know, maybe it might take more than just getting into the weight room because all the facilities in the college programs are sometimes better than an NFL facility in some cases.
Better than the Cardinals.
But, you know, when you're actually getting paid to go there and do that shit for real, you know, maybe he'll have a different mentality. Some people are saying that he might be Alex Erickson. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all, folks. I think he's great. I think he has really good hands, possibly some of the best hands in this draft.
Yeah, this is the most random comparison.
For real, bro. It's crazy, bro. It's
crazy.
No, I think he's going to be something closer to like
specific example, bro.
Yeah. No, I don't like it either because it's disrespect on my boy. But I think Randall Cobb is a better comparison possibly.
Yeah, I agree with you. He reminds me of Randall Cobb, especially how he works out of the slot. Pretty good receiver. He gets those chunk yard plays even out of the slot. And, yeah, I like that at 2-9.
Yeah. So I know we keep bringing up these other Packers, but he even kind of reminds me a little bit of James Jones a little bit with the way that he's just able to find those open zones and
he has a size.
In defenses when they're playing zone coverage, James Jones just has that ability to just get open, and mm-hmm. so that reminds me a lot of him. So
yeah, Ricky's like 6'1", I want to say.
Yeah,
about 6'1".
I think that James Jones was a little bit larger in size. I think he was probably around like 205 or something in weight.
Yeah, Ricky's like 190, I think.
Yeah, yep.
But yeah, I like that at 2'9".
Hell yeah! Who you got to round out the draft, bro? I'm excited to hear this pick. You can make a big splash, or you could go with someone boring like Troy Franklin. Mm-hmm. Who you got here, bro? All
right, so just one last time to recap the teams. Dugo drafted Marvin Harrison. He drafted Brian Thomas. He drafted Adonai Mitchell. He drafted Malik Nabers. And he also drafted Ladd McConkey, Trey Benson. He drafted Braylon Allen.
Yup.
Who'd you just get? Ricky Pearsall?
Yep.
Am I missing anyone?
Yeah, you're missing Malachi Corley.
Malachi Corley.
And there might have been a couple other guys. Will Shipley.
And Will Shipley, yep.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
I'm not sure. Or did you say Jaden Daniels?
And Jaden Daniels. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah, I got a stacked team, bro.
My bad.
I got a stacked team.
For comparison, I drafted Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, Caleb Williams, Xavier Worthy, Jonathan Brooks, Blake Corum, Keon Coleman, Jalen Wright.
What?
And for my last pick.
What?
Of the prospects left. So we're talking Xavier Leggett. We're talking Drake May. We got J.J. McCarthy still on the board.
What?
Marshawn Lloyd. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take.
Who we got? Who we got? Who we got?
Xavier Leggett.
Whoa.
A lot of upside. Great prospect. Explosive. Anything could happen. If he gets his opportunities, he's going to go ahead and be a really good fantasy player. And for the last pick, for my 20th pick in a rookie draft, which is crazy, why not take Xavier Leggett? And, you know, if the upside hits, then, you know, it's really good.
I respect that, bro. I won't lie. So for the people who may have not listened to the start of the pod, I was actually down south this past weekend at Augusta National for the Masters Tournament practice round.
Flex on them.
What's up? But in my time down there, I actually went over to Lexington, South Carolina, which is right outside of Columbia.
Oh, shit.
Had some conversations with some people at a bar over there. They absolutely love Xavier Leggett.
Really?
I even threw in the fact, and they gave me a stern look. I was like, but it was his fifth year, and it took him that long to have a good season. And they're like, yeah, but he had to play behind this guy. I was like, name him. Who did he play behind? And they stumbled over their words. But nonetheless, he did have a good season, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did have a good season. He does. I would say that in this case, in this past year, he had an NFL caliber quarterback in Spencer Rattler. I will give him that. I think that Spencer Rattler will be an NFL caliber quarterback, whether that be a number two or what have you. I think that he will be in the NFL for at least probably 8 or so years. So I do like him, bro. Don't get me wrong. Xavier Leggett could be that guy. He has all the measurables to do so. Like I said, just a fifth-year guy having to break out like that. It just gives me vibes like we said it before, like a Treylon Burks.
Treylon Burks.
Or Quentin Johnston. I just don't know what I'm going to get with a guy with a later breakout like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, he seems like he has a lot of upside. I just don't understand why it took him 5 years to get more than 30 targets, though.
So. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a while. That's a while. Do you think it's a lazy comparison to call him Debo 2.0?
A little bit, but if I'm going to be completely honest, when I was talking to the people there, they kind of said it gave him a little bit of a comparison of him, just in the way that he was utilized all over the offense and in the punt return game, kick return game. They're pretty much saying that, yeah, he is like a superior athlete, but they don't know if he's exactly has the same amount of game and it seems like a receiving ability. But could he be utilized in a gadget form like a Christian Watson? That might be his upside.
Was Christian Watson kind of like the most common comp that you heard when you were down in Carolina?
Well, no one ever really said that. I think that just at the end of the day, when I have to look at it myself, that's kind of what I see a little bit in his physical traits and everything.
Were there any other names that people mentioned in comparison to Xavier Legette?
I can't say so. No, I didn't really ask him all that in depth. But like I would always bring up like, or they would bring up Debo just because he was also from Carolina. So
that's fair. I see him being like a really good gadget player. And, you know, if he's, you know, he's already like big as fuck. So
yeah,
it's
he's
like
6'3", 225. I mean, he could end up being something, you know, short of an Antonio Brown just in a gadget form. So
the reason like all that kind of stuff matters is because when you have like the, you know what I'm saying, like the size to absorb like a heavy target volume.
Yep.
You typically get those opportunities. So look at Michael Thomas, look at Keenan Allen, even Davante Adams, and like the list goes on. But yeah, that's
Megatron.
Megatron was another one.
Megatron.
Typically, like the biggest Randy and fastest Moss. Dude who's talented will be like Nico Collins, right?
Whoa.
But yeah, no, his future is super bright. Quick note, I want to talk about Rashee Rice a little bit.
Bro, that's some fuck shit, bro. I don't get what's going on. Like, I understand what's going on, but like, I don't understand why all these young guys gotta just go off and be doing some fuck shit like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, bro. Like, we're all young and dumb and wild and free and shit. Like, don't get me wrong, like, but if you're gonna be doing some fuck shit like that, I just wish people would be doing that in more controlled environments, not out in the wild, you know, just doing stuff like that. I mean, it's an absolute shame. I'm so happy that no one had passed away in that situation, from what I know. And so that's awesome. But I do know that people are probably injured and probably will not be able to live their lives the same way, unfortunately. So that's very unfortunate. But go on and, yeah, give me your feedback on the whole situation. I'm sorry just to kind of jump in like
no,
that.
No, I mean, yeah, the whole situation is unfortunate. And obviously, you know, you wish the best for the victims and that. But, you know, with Rashee Rice, there's obviously going to be questions. And, you know, let's just get to it. There's going to be fantasy football questions. Some of y'all got Rashee Rice on your rosters, and you don't know what to do because these charges are serious. From what's being reported, it's 8 felony charges. There was a warrant for his arrest, and I don't know too much about the specifics, so I'm not going to pretend like I do know. But regardless, it's not great. And in my humble opinion, I think when you get into a situation like this, you end up on the commissioner's exemption list from what I've experienced and what I've seen. If you can go back to other guys who've gotten into like big legal trouble.
Sheesh.
And I think when you talk about something like all the charges that are being alleged on him, I do think there's a higher chance than normal that he suffers some punishment from the league. I think this legal process could take a while, but regardless, in fantasy football, I would sell my Rashee Rice stock because, one, I think that Kansas City is going to go out there and draft another receiver, somebody that they can prime for the X that Rashee was supposed to absorb. But, two, like, if people are still willing to buy him off you, sell him while you can. I think this process takes a while, and, you know, I'd say get what you can for it, and you sleep better at night, but you probably also get a little bit more ROI for what you get.
Yeah, I kind of agree as well. I also think that if you want to call a spade, I think that the Chiefs are in a position to draft a wide receiver regardless.
Yeah, and a good receiver draft too.
Yeah, and so I just feel like, yeah, like Rashid's a really good player when he's out there, and who knows the next time he's going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just all in general, I think that they're going to take a wide receiver. It might have been someone like you like in the Xavier Worthy, you know, like kind of a gadget guy. But with these charges, I feel like they're going to have to probably go more of, like you said, like an X direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that the Chiefs here are kind of in a pigeonhole. They're going to obviously keep him on their team if they can. And so, obviously, having Patty Mahomes as your quarterback is huge. Mm-hmm. So, let's not forget that if you do decide to hold him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not frowned upon if you do. But at the end of the day, yeah, man, like, he might be out of the league and you might just have to eat that bullet. If that decision comes to a fold, then obviously you won't be able to trade him to any teammates unless they're Dugo and they, you know, want to try to.
They want
to
trade Aaron Rodgers
for a first round pick.
Yeah. When he's 40 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Some people just make stupid decisions sometimes. So maybe.
Hey, bro, I've been there. I've done that.
You know, so, you know, fuck shit happens. So never say never, right?
It happens. Fair enough. All right. So that's my little bit on Rashee Rice. Dugo's opinion on Rashee Rice.
Yeah. It's such an unfortunate situation, dude, just because I thought he was a really good guy and everything. It just sucks because it happened in his hometown and shit. And so it probably happened with some fuck guys that he used to hang out with.
I don't think we know all that. And apparently one of the other dudes was like a college athlete. So I'm not going to like assassinate these kids' characters. I don't know these people. I just know the incident that's being accused.
Right.
And it's an unfortunate incident, especially when you got accidents involved. So
right.
I'm wishing the best for everybody. Obviously, I hope things work out for everyone involved. But coming out of that, I don't really have anything else. You got anything else you want to talk about?
Not much, but let me just ask you one quick thing. I'm just not sure if I really if I've ever asked you this opinion or not.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think is going to be the effect of Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta?
I think that it's going to be really similar to what you saw in Cincinnati.
The Joe Burrow effect?
It's going to be a zone offense. In a zone offense, what you want from the quarterback is you want a quarterback who's timely with his passes. So Kirk Cousins is that. He's pretty accurate. You have Drake London and you got Kyle Pitts. So you got two reliable receivers. You know, you have Bijan Robinson. So, okay, the coverage you face is never going to be consistent.
Yep.
And, you know, you can go out there and draft another receiver in a deep receiver class. And, you know, Raheem Morris is a part of that Sean McVay tree. So, you know, he was influenced by that Sean McVay offense.
And I believe the guy that they're bringing with them is actually a guy that Kirk Cousins used to work with out of when he was a Washington Redskins / Commander / football team / whatever.
Exactly. So I think if the Falcons go out there and they get like a three-level receiver in the draft, so that would be somebody like Xavier Worthy, right? Playing, you know, that Z receiver role. I think that would be really great for their team. Drake London could be a deep
like
shot.
I don't know. Like, that would be interesting. I mean, I just don't know if they're going to get a guy right away there in the first. Mm-hmm. I could honestly see them getting someone like a Malik Corley, if I'm going to be completely.
That's what I was going to say. Even if they got Malachi Corley, that'd be cool. Because Malachi is good at all three, you know, whatever, all three levels. So
he's that guy. He can do all those things. And he has, in my opinion, he has good size for a receiver as well. So
exactly.
And I mean, that's kind of what, you know, the Falcons are kind of built for is, you know, pounding the ball and also throwing through the air.
Roma Dunze in Atlanta.
That would be kind of icy,
bro. That would be crazy.
Yeah, bro. I would
Roma Dunze in Atlanta would. Like,
if I had any Drake London stock, I would sell that immediately.
Bro, that's actually a perfect fit. That's a really good fit.
Immediately.
So, I think that'll happen with Atlanta, but I like Kirk Cousins there, and I think they're going to be solid. That's all I got. So we appreciate y'all for tapping in with us for another episode. As you know, my name is Ja.
Hey, it's Dugo over here. Appreciate y'all tapping in with those head tops.
Hit that subscribe button below, and until we talk to you again, peace.